Merry meet, and welcome to episode 5 of Pennies in the Well. I am your host, occasional guide, and a periodic lunatic Saturn Dark Hope. Happy to share with you things that I experience and conversations that I am lucky enough to have, including for these last 3 episodes, with conversations with Sloan and Tyson to talk about the Book of the Law. So this is the 3rd night of it. The 3rd chapter will be released on April 10th to follow the traditional nights that the Book of the Law was actually written on. So for the intro for this night, as I'm sure those of you who've already listened to the first 2 already have the idea of, it's going to be a little brief introduction by me, followed by a break with a song. And this particular song for this episode is going to be something based on, of course, the Book of the Law aspect, the chapter that's being read tonight, and it's called Today by Todd Allen, and you can get his music off of www.todd-allan.net. It seemed a rather appropriate song for this chapter 3 of the Book of the Law. And then after that break will come the chapter 3 reading again by Tyson. After that, we'll have a little break, probably with a promo and a little Sesame Street, the episodes brought to you by. And then we'll have the commentary, the final commentary from Sloan and Tyson. And given that we did it all in one night, you can see that we were starting to slide down the hill of silliness faster, actually, with each successive session that we did. And I had also mentioned in the beginning of the interview with them that we were going to talk about Invisible House itself. Well, it turned out that Sloan was coughing, I was coming down with something that I'm still dealing with, and after an hour and a half of interviewing, we were all just a little bit too tired to get to that point, and we had enough material to certainly fill up 3 episodes, so the discussion with them about Invisible House specifically is going to have to wait for another night, I'm afraid. So at least we know that they'll be coming back in the future. Though, there is something else that will happen in the interim, I'm sure, because before Tyson can come back on Pennies in the Well, he's going to go do an interview over at the Wiggling Way. Why? Because he'd actually promised to do one with Mojo first, and I sort of scooped him. And in fact, here's a little clip from the interview about that particular little fact. Hold on.
After Mojo forgives me for stealing you away from that first interview. I'm sorry, Mojo! I'm sorry. Yeah, had to get that in there. This is for Mojo, and I'm going to leave it in, I'm sure. Mojo, just so you know, he swore he couldn't come on Pennies in the Well until he actually did an interview with you, and it's only because of the Book of the Law, because of this very specific nature of the request, and probably...
the timing.
Yeah, that he agreed to do it for me, so...
I owe you an interview.
And he said it online, so you know that you now have that in. So there you go. That's my upside for you, Mojo. That's my trading piece.
Definitely the upside.
So there you have it, straight from Tyson's mouth over to Mojo at the Wiggling Way, confirming that he will be doing an interview with him. So that's my apology, Mojo. I really didn't mean to scoop you. It just was a fabulous idea that had to be followed through on. So coming back to this episode 5 of Pennies in the Well, we'll be, so after the reading of the Book of the Law, and after that second little break, then we'll have the final interview section, and then we'll be finishing the show with, and as you will discover, the feast for the 3rd night is wines and wines that foam. And with that in mind, we're going to take out the episode with... a little bit of Tiller's Folly. The song is called Water at the Bar, and it's from A Ripple in Time. And you can find information on the band at www.tillersfolly.com. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. I would love to hear any feedback that you have, comments whether or not you liked it, things that worked, things that didn't, just send me an email at penniesinthewell@gmail.com or leave a comment on the website, penniesinthewell.com. And just actually before we get into it, I have a little treat for you. As you know from episode 2.5 and the little craziness that I had going that night, that I was working on a piece that I wrote for a class that I'm in. And my coven mate, Holly, is in the same class and wrote her own piece. And it turned out that she picked pretty much the exact same time frame in the myth of Demeter and Persephone and Hades. So just the moment when Hades goes coming up to the world to grab hold of Kore, as she was known then, and take her down to the underworld. But she did hers from the perspective of Kore. So for your listening enjoyment, before we head into the first break, here is what Holly wrote. I hope you enjoy, and I think it goes rather well with the theme of the night. Ready or Not by Holly. In the field of everlasting, I dance and twirl between the buds of possibilities. All I know is that of maidens, we who pluck wildflowers for beauty's sake. And as thoughts of what other purposes do plants and flowers embody rise up in my mind like foam from the sea, I see an entrancing bloom that stops my whirling thoughts with its clarity. I reach for that bright blossom. I have never seen its like, but I recognize it deep within me. When a great chasm gapes from the earth, the thunderous silence shocks me to my core and holds my body immobile as a brilliant darkness leaps out from the depths of the earth. I see a beautiful man that freezes my inexperienced body with his presence. I step back in surprise and fear. I have not met him before, but the sense of him reminds me of hidden mysteries and mirrored contrasts. I know not of what is to come, as the potentiality of change just begins to transform fear to excitement, and as I think about reaching out a hand in curiosity, I feel an immense force that snatches myself away with abruptness. I scream in pain for the loss of all that is known. If only I had more time to think about this, to prepare and to play with the idea of becoming different. I feel something like yearning, sowing seeds of transformation in me. The beginning gleam of knowledge and wisdom grows within me. I understand this upheaval that initiates my entire being with complete integration, whether I am ready or not.
There is one thing that I can say. We've got Abrahadabra, the reward of Ra Hurkut. There is division hither homeward. There is a word not known. Spelling is defunct. All is not aught. Beware, hold, raise the spell of Ra Hurkut. Now let it be at first understood that I am a god of war and of vengeance. I shall deal hardly with them. Choose ye an island, fortify it, dung it about with enginery of war. I will give you a war engine. With it ye shall smite the peoples, and none shall stand before you. Lurk. Withdraw. Upon them! This is the law of the battle of conquest. Thus shall my worship be about my secret house. Get the stele of revealing itself. Set it in thy secret temple, and that temple is already right disposed, and it shall be your Qibla forever. It shall not fade, but miraculous color shall come back to it day after day. Close it in locked glass for a proof to the world. This shall be your only proof. I forbid argument. Conquer. That is enough. I will make easy to you the obstruction from the ill-ordered house in the Victorian city. Thou shalt thyself convey it with worship, O prophet, though thou likest it not. Thou shalt have danger and trouble. Ra Hurkut is with thee. Worship me with fire and blood. Worship me with swords and with spears. Let the woman be girt with a sword before me. Let blood flow to my name. Trample down the heathen. Be upon them, O warrior. I will give you of their flesh to eat. Sacrifice cattle, little and big. After, a child. But not now. Ye shall see that hour, O blessed beast. And now the scarlet concubine of his desire. Ye shall be sad thereof. Deem not too eagerly to catch the promises. Fear not to undergo the curses. Ye, even ye, know not this meaning all. Fear not at all. Fear neither men nor fates, nor gods nor anything. Money fear not, nor laughter of the folk folly, nor any other power in heaven or upon the earth or under the earth. New is your refuge, and had it your guide, your light. And I am your strength, force, vigor of your arms. Mercy let be off. Damn them who pity. Kill and torture. Spare not. Be upon them. That stele shall be called this. That stele they shall call the abomination of desolation. Count well its name, and it shall be to you as 718. Why? Because of the fall of because he is not there again. Set up my image in the east. Thou shalt buy the image, which I will show thee, is special, not unlike the one thou knowest. And it shall be suddenly easy for you to do this. The other images group around me to support me. Let all be worshipped, for they shall cluster to exalt me. I am the visible object of worship. The others are secret, for the beast and his bride are they, and for the winners of Ordeal X. What is this? Thou shalt know. For perfume mix meal and honey and thick leavings of red wine, then oil of abramelin and olive oil, and afterward softened and smoothed down with rich, fresh blood. The best blood is of the moon monthly, then the fresh blood of a child, or the dropping from the host of heaven, then of enemies, then of the priest or of the worshippers, last of some beast, no matter what. This burn, of this make cakes and eat unto me. This hath also another use. Let it be laid before me, and kept thick with perfumes of your orison. It shall become full of beetles, as it were, and creeping things sacred unto me. These slay, naming your enemies, and they shall fall before you. Also these shall breed lust and power of lust in you at the eating thereof. Also ye shall be strong in war. Moreover, be they long kept, it is better, for they swell with my force, all before me. My altar is of open brasswork. Burn thereon in silver or gold. There cometh a rich man from the west, who shall pour his gold upon thee. From gorge, gold forged steel, be ready to fly or to smite. But your holy place shall be untouched throughout the centuries. Though with fire and sword it be burnt down and shattered, yet an invisible house there standeth, and shall stand till the fall of the great equinox, when Hermatius shall arise, and the double-wanded one assume my throne in place. Another prophet shall arise and bring fresh fever from the skies. Another woman shall awake the lust and worship of the snake. Another soul of god and beast shall mingle in the globed priest. Another sacrifice shall stain the tomb. Another king shall reign, and blessing no longer be poured to the hawk-headed mystical lord. The half of the word Heru Ra Ha, called Hur Par Krat and Ra Hur Kut. Then said the prophet unto the god, I adore thee in song. I am the lord of Thebes, and I the inspired forespeaker of Mentu. For me unveils a veiled sky the self-slain and Kaf Nakansu, whose words are truth. I invoke, I greet thy presence, O Ra Hur Kut. Unity uttermost showed, I adore the might of thy breath. Supreme and terrible God, who makest the gods and death to tremble before thee, I adore thee. Appear on the throne of Ra, open the ways of the Ku, lighten the ways of the Ka, the way of the cobs runs through, to stir me or still me. Let it fill me. So that thy light is in me, and its red flame is as a sword in my hand to push thy order. There is a secret door that I shall make to establish thy way in all the quarters. These are the adorations as thou hast written. As it is said, the light is mine, its rays consume me. I have made a secret door into the house of Ra and tomb, of Kephra and of Ahathor. I am thy Theban, O Mentu, the prophet in Kaf Nakansu. By best Naman my breast I beat, by wise Tanek I weave my spell. Show thy star splendor, O Nuit. Bid me within thine house to dwell, O winged snake of light, Hadit. Abide with me, Ra Hur Kut. All this in a book to say how thou hast come hither, and a reproduction of this in ink and paper forever. For in it is the word secret, and not only in the English. And thy comment upon this book of the law shall be printed beautifully in red ink and black, upon beautiful paper made by hand. And to each man and woman that thou meetest, were it but to dine or to drink at them, it is the law to give. Then they shall chance to abide in this bliss, or no. It is no odds. Do this quickly. But the work of the comment, that is easy, and had it burning in thy heart, shall make swift and secure thy pen. Establish at thy Kaaba a clerk house. All must be done well and with business way. The ordeals thou shalt oversee thyself, save only the blind ones. Refuse none, but thou shalt know and destroy the traitors. I am Ra Hur Kut, and I am powerful to protect my servant. Success is thy proof. Argue not, convert not, talk not overmuch. Them that seek to entrap thee, to overthrow thee, them attack without pity or quarter, and destroy them utterly. Swift as a trodden serpent, turn and strike, be thou yet deadlier than he. Drag down their souls to awful torment, laugh at their fear, spit upon them. Let the scarlet woman beware. If pity and compassion and tenderness visit her heart, if she leave my work to toy with old sweetnesses, then shall my vengeance be known. I will slay me her child. I will alienate her heart. I will cast her out from men. As a shrinking and despised harlot shall she crawl through the dusk-wet streets and die cold and unhungered. But let her raise herself in pride. Let her follow me in my way. Let her work the work of wickedness. Let her kill her heart. Let her be loud and adulterous. Let her be covered with jewels and rich garments, and let her be shameless before all men. Then will I lift her to the pinnacles of power, and then will I breed from her a child mightier than all the kings of the earth. I will fill her with joy. With my force shall she see and strike at the worship of Nu. She shall achieve Hadit. I am the warrior lord of the 40s. The 80s cower before me and are abased. I will bring you to victory and joy. I will be at your arms in battle, and ye shall delight to slay. Success is your proof. Courage is your armor. Go on in my strength, and you shall turn not back for any. This book shall be translated into all tongues, but always with the original in the writing of the beast. For in the chance shape of the letters, and their position to one another, in these are mysteries that no beast shall divine. Let him not seek to try, but one cometh after him, whence I say not, who shall discover the key of it all. Then this line drawn is a key. Then this circle squared in its failure is also a key. And abrahadabra, it shall be his child, and that strangely. Let him not seek after this, for thereby alone can he fall for it, from it. Now this mystery of the letters is done, and I want to go on to the holier place. I am in a secret fourfold word, the blasphemy against all gods of men. Curse them! Curse them! Curse them! With my hawk's head I peck at the eyes of Jesus as he hangs upon the cross. I flap my wings in the face of Muhammad and blind him. With my claws I tear out the flesh of the Indian and the Buddhist, Mongol, and Din. Balasti, Ompeda, I spit on your crapulous creeds. Let Mary and Violet be torn upon wheels. For her sake, let all chaste women be utterly despised among you. Also for beauty's sake, and love's. Despise also all cowards, professional soldiers who dare not fight, but play. All fools despise. But the keen and the proud, the royal and the lofty, ye are brothers. As brothers fight ye. There is no law beyond do what thou wilt. There is an end of the word of the God enthroned in Ra's seat, lightening the girders of the soul. To me do ye reverence. To me come ye through tribulation of ordeal, which is bliss. The fool readeth this book of the law and its comment, and he understandeth it not. Let him come through the first ordeal, and it will be to him as silver. Through the second, gold. Through the third, stones of precious water. Through the fourth, ultimate stark sparks of the infinite fire. Yet to all it shall seem beautiful. Its enemies who say not so are mere liars. There is success. I am the hawk-headed lord of silence and of strength. My nemesis shrouds the night blue sky. Hail, ye twin warriors, about the pillars of the world, for your time is nigh at hand. I am the lord of the double wand of power, the wand of the force of Kafnaya. But my left hand is empty, for I have crushed an universe, and naught remains. Paste the sheets from right to left, and from top to bottom. Then behold, there is a splendor in my name, hidden and glorious, as the sun of midnight is ever the sun. The ending of the words is the word Abrahadabra. The book of the law is written and concealed. Comment. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. The study of this book is forbidden. It is wise to destroy this copy after the first reading. Whosoever disregards this does so at his own risk and peril. These are most dire. Those who discuss the contents of this book are to be shunned by all as centers of pestilence. All questions of the law are to be decided only by appeal to my writings, each for himself. There is no law beyond do what thou wilt. Love is the law, love under will. The priest of the princes, Ankaf Nakansu.
Standing Stone
and Garden Gate,
a podcast for
artistic and creative,
intelligent and philosophizing,
crafty and practical,
deep thinking,
hardworking
pagans
and witches.
Visit stonegatepodshow.net
or else.
Episode 5 of Pennies in the Well is brought to you by the tarot card, the Lovers, and the Runestone. Behu.
So welcome back to Pennies in the Well. We have our third episode. I'm not actually sure which episode this will be for my actual show, but for the reading of the Book of the Law, this is the third night that we are doing it. It is April 10th for its release date, or April 10th somewhere in the world, because I'm going to try and do it as soon as possible for the people who actually get to April 10th before we in Canada do, being as we're on the West Coast. And you've just heard the third chapter of the Book of the Law, which is all about... Dig it, guys!
Well, before we actually get into that, I imagine that your teeth are probably gnashed closely together and you're wondering, what the fuck did I just hear? Because this isn't what I heard in the first two chapters. What the hell's going on?
Absolutely. That's a typical reaction, especially with the ending of the book. Because near the end, it gets pretty ruthless about tearing out all of the old and hailing in a new Aeon. Now, the Book of the Law makes absolutely clear that it's not a certainty that the Aeon is going to be hailed in properly, just that it should be hailed in properly. And so far, there's been a great deal of trial and tribulation since 1904,
there's
including
a lot of people who don't want to give up the power that they've held. Dad's still sitting firmly in the throne with his nails gripped around the edge of the armholes, and the crowbar behind him ain't moving him an inch.
Well, nobody likes to give up power.
No.
Isn't that what you... Sorry, I'm not going to digress.
That would be at the end of the chapter when it was blasting all of the religions that rose up in the last 2,000 years.
Yeah,
which is basically
they forgot about the politicians.
No, you could consider it a whole separate religion.
Actually, they didn't. My favorite verse in there was for the politicians.
And what is it?
Yet your holy house shall be untouched throughout the centuries, though with fire and sword it be burnt down and shattered, therein an invisible house standeth, and shall stand until the fall of the great equinox, and so on and so forth. That particular chapter, I always thought, was referring to the world order as it currently exists.
Sorry, that stanza?
Yes, that verse. That verse, I have always thought, reflected the world order as it currently stands and what it could be replaced and how it could be replaced.
Well, the whole chapter in and of itself is... Sorry, as I'm reaching for my cigarettes.
We have habits of conversation. We spent many a night in the back room, him smoking, us chatting.
The whole chapter, whereas the first two chapters are speaking on one level, as we said, about the old aeons, the first, or not the first by any stretch of the means, but the age of the mother and the age of the father, and you'd think that we would be talking about the age of the child. But as it stands, the age of the child is not set. It is still coming into being. This is a very transitional point, and what the chapter is talking about is the actual ushering in. It points towards a direction as to where it should lie, and you may have already found your happy medium in reading the first two chapters, but this is the transition point. And it's saying that, you know, best case scenario, it's going to be rough. Nobody likes the transition of power, and there's going to be those who fall and those who rise. And
those who rise and walk off to go cough in a corner so that we don't have to listen to them. Oh, water will solve it all. Well, there's an answer for you. If you ever wonder, if you need a solution to a problem, water.
Hey, if it hit the microphone, it would have. So basically the third chapter is definitely referring to the ushering in. And there's a lot more of the predictions and the prophecies. Specifically, like when it's talking to the Scarlet Woman. And it's talking to the Scarlet Woman on two levels. One, it's talking to Rose Kelly, the original Scarlet Woman, being the one who led Crowley into the Book of the Law.
We got a little disagreement to the side here.
That's okay, let me finish. Where it specifically states, it prior states that how the Scarlet Woman should behave, how she should act, how she should be. And then it flips and specifies, not by name, but by action and by reference to Rose Kelly, in the sense that if she toy with old sweetnesses, that she will die cold and hungered and, you know, that kind of thing. And it was, you should see that hour, O blessed beast, when as a result of all of that, she basically loses everything. Mm. He loses the child. And... Crowley.
Yeah.
The child didn't survive.
Oh, and, like actual baby physical child.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And basically that was the prediction. You shall see that hour, O blessed beast. There's nothing you can do about it. It was already one of the predetermines. And the fact that that was one of the prophecies that came true less than a couple of years later led credence to the rest of it in the third chapter, where it's promoting where things should go.
How long are we in this threshold for?
As long as it takes.
But not 2,000 years, one presumes.
No,
not 2,000 years, but you have to understand.
We've speculated between like 100 and 500 years. If we 500, if we hit like a dark age. If the children rise up and don't do it properly, or the parents fight back in a really dirty, sneaky way, then things can go all to hell and we may have book burnings and lack of computers.
Actually, with the advancements of the last age, we have the means to completely destroy ourselves. We do have the means to completely destroy ourselves.
There is that.
The commencement of the Aeon is in no way a certainty.
The Aeon will commence.
Yeah, it has to.
But the way it'll reflect.
the commencement of the and
it could be a very furtive time
is not a certainty.
Ideally,
what would be the other option? We remain stuck in the age of Osiris?
No, ideally,
absolutely not. The other option is that the Dark Age, as Tyson had said, could approach just like it did at the end of the last Aeon. It was a Dark Age that was inevitable with the fall of the empires. We could have a Dark Age. We could actually have a situation where nothing survives on the planet, not even bacteria.
Well, that's cheerful.
We could have an age of enlightenment and reason where people are given free rein to express themselves, where societies become open, where science and art are balanced. And in that balance, you have a balanced society. We could have the very, very best. We could have the very, very worst. We could have something in between. The end has not been hailed in yet. Certain events were inevitable. And the chapter you just heard, naming the specific years, now you can go look at.
Because as I recall, the language, particularly the third chapter, some of the other ones are just for anyone who is very gentle, perhaps, I should say, in their ethics, can get kind of triggered on some of the phrasing and the words that it's very, almost difficult to listen
and
to.
And was absolutely meant to be that way. Because the people who are unwilling to take to the streets, the people who are unwilling to say no to the leaders who want to do something insane.
Well, for the last 100 years, people have been fighting for that extra bit of freedom, that breaking out of the mold. That women don't want to be behind a kitchen and an apron. Children don't want to be following the footsteps of their fathers. I mean, right down to the core essence of people, just blazing their way into new uncharted territory and fighting for their right to just be different.
And on the other hand,
pieces of jewelry.
There's a piece of society that wants everything to revert right back to that.
Basically, reverting back, actually, that whole comment brings us back to and it harm none. If basically, I mean, here, yes, you have all the potential of a world in front of you. You have the matter, the energy, and the motion. Where is the motion going to go? As the child, you have to assert yourself. Every teenager is rebellious if he's going to do anything his own.
And we are definitely in those rebellious years.
And but in order to get there, you have to be willing to fight.
But are we in the rebellious years for the 5-year-old having a tantrum or the teenage years of the acting out stage?
And discovering of identity.
And the discovering of identity. Which stage are we in yet? Would hazard a guess that in spite of World War I and II, the Cold War, and the technological advancements that have been made in the last 80 years, we're probably closer to the 5-year-old still.
Before we get into Invisible House's own preferences for what they do on the third night, is there anything else that you want to say about the third chapter? I mean, you've given kind of a very
it is violent. Synopsis. It is violent, but it is beautiful in its own way. And basically, yeah.
Almost a little shock therapy in that one too, as well, to rouse people out.
I never really thought of it as being overly violent. I always thought of it as forcing a person to make a choice. And not any particular choice, but a choice.
And not personal responsibility. Personal get up responsibility. And take control of your life.
Exactly right. To make a choice. Doesn't matter what that choice is, but to make a choice.
And own it afterwards. I have a big one on that one.
And to own it afterwards. You know, a choice other than there's the couch, there's a screen TV, here's the vegetable. Oh, wait a second. I am the vegetable.
For everyone else's reference, by the way, he pointed to his couch and he pointed to his TV that's off to the side.
Which is not a screen TV.
But would it be if you had the option?
I don't know. You trap your teenagers inside in front of a TV screen or a video game, and they have no world experience, so they're just more likely to be stomped underneath anybody or just follow along because they don't know any better.
And
I remember falling.
You
out of
have
trees.
A Wii.
He uses that for exercise.
We fit.
Apparently they have a yoga aspect inside of it, which isn't all that bad. It's a good testing ground because yoga is actually a fundamental part of our working group. It's what trains your mind for your discipline, your physical for your control factor, and pretty much everything else that it's a basis, it's a foundation of dominance over the self and over your environment.
So and ideally, without that, what's the point?
So ideally, the Wii becomes a technological tool.
A tool, yes.
Hopefully. Not just an escapism. Or
oh, look, absolutely. You could spend... you have a TV and cable vision, you can spend all your time watching the most retarded sitcoms on TV and watching nothing but retarded sitcoms 24 hours a day because they are on 24 hours a day.
Believe it or not, or you could watch,
or you could watch the History Channel or Discovery Channel. Or
the Nature of Things.
The Nature of Things. There are a great many programs. And even then, you have to be very discerning about what you're watching, because just because it's on TV doesn't make it true.
I remember watching
even when David Suzuki says it.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I used to watch Extreme Homes, and I used to love the science of it. And unfortunately, right after it came Dog.
Oh, The Bounty Hunter?
The Bounty Hunter.
Oh.
And, you know, if I was like, if it was the end of the night, there's times I actually found myself watching it and disgusted the whole time, but just not bothered to turn it off.
It is so frightening, the train wreck you can end up watching just because it's there. But we digress. So anything else that you'd like to say on the chapter 3 of the Book of the Law? Or anything that you, before we get into the two aspects, but also anything now that you've had, they've heard the whole of the Book of the Law, is there anything that you'd like to add for that entire experience, something to take away after the 3 days or the three readings?
I've come across a lot of people who think that they're the chosen ones who figured out all the secrets. I've read a lot of books from people claiming to have been the ones to figure out all the secrets.
I thought it was
the
chosen one, though. One.
Yes, yes.
Not many.
Who comes from the general West. And the only thing that was actually specified as to who it might have been was that he shall come from an unexpected house. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything in this day and age of gender bending. So good luck with it. But basically find your truth out of it is basically the ultimate message. Take what it sparks in you. And if that's disgust, then so be it. And, you know, move on to the next tradition. Or take it with a grain of salt. Add it to your repertoire.
And my advice would be learn from it, then act on it.
Actually, yes. Make the choice.
Well,
wisdom is useless unless you put it into action. Or knowledge is useless unless you put it into action, because then it becomes wisdom.
Let's do those last two invisible house kind of practical aspects of what you like to do with the reading of the law. So it would be the third tarot card. We had the first one was kind of for the coming year, the center aspect of the year. Then there's the second card from chapter two is the internal. I'm going to guess, and I'm getting hand gestures. It's apparently turned into podcast mime. Sorry.
Sloan is a mime. No, so don't apologize to me. I wasn't the one that did it.
No, not near the MacBook. No water near the MacBook. I lied. Water doesn't solve
You're
everything.
Edit that out, right?
Oh, okay. So, sure. Absolutely, I'll edit that out.
People, you can understand his temperamentality getting inferred to as a mime.
He was the one doing gestures. Anyhow, so for the third night, tarot card pulled from the deck
is external. It's the external manifestation of what the effects are going to be or the influences on your life.
So is it you acting externally or being acted on externally?
Both.
Ah.
One or the other or both.
Right.
The beautiful thing about having a three-card reading is that, well, the cards definitely can imply more specifically as to exactly what it's referring to. It can be general, it can be very specific. But whether it's something that's going to be your current state or where things are going to, what's impacting your life, what's going to be in your general environment, whether you're going to be surrounded by cool people in a court card, or whether it's going to be all bustle, 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 like the eight of the eight of wands, or it could give you something as simple as an eight of discs, you know, talk it back and hold on to what you got, you know, just hunker down and bear the brunt.
Can it tell me that I get to have a vacation for a year? I could take that.
Actually, yes, it can. Yes, it can.
Yes, it can.
What kind of vacation? It can even tell you what kind of vacation.
So what would be a card that would tell me I'm taking a vacation for a year?
Well, the Hermit, receding.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be nice.
It could be.
All right. And then
not necessarily. You might get very, very lonely. The vacation might be you in a closet huddled and shivering, eating Twinkies for a year. It would depend on the cards around.
Make me huddle and shiver.
Please not dark Twinkies.
What a
going.
Dark place he takes this to.
I know.
I'm gonna go back to.
I think he's getting revenge for the mine. Oh man.
And revenge is sweet.
Damn you. Now for the feast. Feast on the last night. This is
wines and wines that foam.
Oh, and nice. And this particular year, April 10th, is a Saturday.
Woo!
Oh yeah, baby. So wines and wines that foam.
And that would be like champagne, sparkling wines.
Thank you.
Beer, no, sure. Why not? Basically,
no vodka, though. You get a little out of luck on the vodka.
You know, if you want to have a martini, I don't think anybody in the room is going to say you can't.
Not to mention a spritzer.
Mead?
Oh, yeah. Mead. Oh, no mead.
It's kind of like a wine.
Basically, it's the night of libation. Mm. So it is the festival to celebrate the conclusion of the reading of the book, the anniversary, as it were. The feast builds up. You have your appetizers, your sweets, your hors d'oeuvres, as it were. Then you have your tantalizing course meals or whatever you want, as it happened to be last year. And then you finish it off with the party. And it all carries over. The energy builds as you're going from day to day to day. And it's turned into something of a rite. It's
fabulous. Definitely a feast of the times, as described in the Book of the Law. Yeah, we've definitely made it our own.
Last year I had a bottle of nice Clique de Clicquot that was about, you know, half as tall as I was.
Clique de Clicquot?
The yellow bottle of champagne. Good stuff.
Oh, actually, yeah. The champagne that was feet disgusting. High.
If you're just drinking the cheap-ass bottles, you're going to get cheap-ass champagne. I did figure that by going to the mid price range, you're definitely hitting quality stuff, and the flavor changes. Test it out, believe me. I haven't braved the high end ones to see if they're any better, because I can't conceive of anything being better than the mid range stuff. But the $10 bottles, crap. Don't bring that to any festival.
Baby doc.
But yeah, Canadian. Mead, rum and coke, whatever.
Don't do it. Just don't go.
No,
there.
No baby duck. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lucky beer either.
No lucky beer. I've not heard of.
Or Ironside.
I don't know. Are we starting to get particularly prejudiced about that?
Yeah, we are.
Would we shun people?
Yeah, I think we should shun people.
Wow, apparently
there are limits to the freedoms.
Apparently,
do it that well, but just don't be trailer trash.
Hey, we all come from trailer trash.
Yeah, don't be trailer trash.
So I want to say again, thank you guys so much for taking the time to really explain what the Book of the Law is about. For a lot of people, if they even have heard about it, probably don't have any real depth or experience behind it. I've heard of it, I've heard the reading of it, and still didn't have necessarily this depth of knowledge. So thank you so much for sharing this.
Yeah. So just as an end note, if you're down in your luck and you really can't afford anything but baby duck, I recommend a 2-liter of club soda and the tail end of a can of whipping cream.
And how is that a good thing?
Because that was very sound advice.
For a few moments, you'll actually get the same revelry as you would from a bottle of proper.
So how do these go together?
Oh well, the sparkling water is your call it your wine that foams. It doesn't actually kind of get you into that revelry kind of state of things. Hmm. But the nitrous in the bottom of a can of whipping cream. The trick is to hold it vertically, not upside down. And the whipping cream stays in the bottom, and the nitrous comes in the top. And a good breath of that, have a seat behind you.
Yes, actually, there is
a bit of euphoria that can be momentarily overwhelming.
Yeah, so be sitting down if you're going to play with whipped cream. Hold the can upright, take a deep breath.
Before he gets into the paint thinner and...
Ooh.
Yeah. No violence on the show, boys.
I would like to say thank you for having us on your podcast.
Yes, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and hope that everybody who's listened has enjoyed and gotten something from what we had to share.
And don't forget, check them out at invisiblehouse.org.
Thank you very much, Saturn, for having us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And this concludes episode 5 of Pennies in the Well, as well as our 3-part series on the Book of the Law. My thanks again go out to Sloan and Tyson of Invisible House for taking the time to explain to me and to you as well so much of what the Book of the Law is. So thank you guys, and for anyone who's interested in more information, you can contact them through their website, which is www.invisiblehouse.org. And we're just going to finish up. I'll probably shove in a couple of outtakes, not necessarily as funny as the ones from last night, but a couple of outtakes for you from the interview nonetheless. And then we'll have a final song for the evening, which honors the Wines and Wines That Foam, which is Tiller's Folly. That's the group name, and they're a local band, actually, local to BC. So thank you again for downloading the show. And I hope you have a wonderful couple of weeks until the next episode comes out. I look forward to hearing any comments that you have. And until next we talk, I wish you beautiful dreams. Blessed be.
What about the meek who inherit the earth? Is that 6 feet under?
It's the geek who inherits the earth. Don't you know that?
The geek inherits the earth.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, well, that changes everything then.
Because that would be, I mean, Microsoft right there. The geeks have inherited the earth.
Good point. Yeah. So I guess the meek are okay then. And it harm none.
And it harm none. And we all take a stand.
Except for Sloan, who spews it back out on the carpet.
Yeah. His personal statement's coming alive in a 3-dimensional form.
Now some men take the poison while other men abstain. I've no dispute for either, for I've often done the same. There's those who have my sympathy no matter who they are. And a poor pathetic creature's drinking water at the bar. Well, men might take a ribbing if he ordered up some tea. Some men shout for whiskey, but it's not the drink for me. I'll take my pint of family, boys, no matter near or far. If there's nothing so peculiar drinking water at the bar. Well, there's those who wouldn't cross the street and then that takes the pain. Some will take fermented fruit while others hops and grains. From the drunkard to the pious man who never tilled the jar. There's nothing so peculiar drinking water at the bar. Hey! Now I might forgive a man if he perchance had robbed a bank, or a captain who through sheer neglect allowed his ship to sink. I can understand a fortunate man are forced to steal a car, but there's simply no excuse for drinking water at the bar. When there's colas and there's sodas from the rafters to the bar, there's coffees and there's cocktails, there's cordials galore. There's drinks of all description, but it strikes me as bizarre that they know imagination drinking water at the bar. Sin and bathing now and then, ever keeping little fishes in. But let us not pretend that unless you've set your face on fire with a belching big cigar, you won't be taken kindly drinking water at the bar. Well, there's those who wouldn't cross the street and them that takes the pains. Some will take fermented fruit while others hops and grains. From the drunkard to the pious man who never tilled the jar, but it's nothing so peculiar drinking water at the bar. Decree. Well, it's nothing short of blasphemous, and I'm sure the Pope agrees. No matter how remote you thought your chances were so far, well, you'll never get to heaven drinking water at the bar. Well, there's those who wouldn't cross the street, and then that takes the pains. Some will take fermented fruit, while others hops and grains. From the drunkard to the pious man, and never to the jar. There's nothing so peculiar drinking water at the bar. Well, there's those who wouldn't cross the street, and then that takes the pains. Some will take fermented